From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Our guest this morning is Myrna Valerio, who is a native of Brooklyn, New York, a former educator, cross-country coach, ultra-marathoner, and author of the best-selling memoir, A Beautiful Work in Progress. She began her blogging, Fat Girl Running, about her experiences as a larger woman in a world of thinner endurance athletes while training for her first marathon. Myrna's athletic story was featured in the viral REI-produced documentary short, The Myrnavator, and in 2018, she was chosen as the National Geographic Adventurer of the Year, and most recently appeared on The Kelly Clarkson Show and Access Daily. Welcome to the show, Myrna.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good, good. It's great to speak with you. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I am in Vermont, which is where I live right now, and it is, you know, I am loving life. I'm trying to love life, despite all the awfulness that is going on around us. I am trying to have a good life and trying to have my son have a good life and, you know, just kind of living it up.
You have always been a person of positivity and taking obstacles and making them opportunities throughout your career. And much of your story is that. How do you turn all these obstacles and situations into such positive experiences?
Well, you know, I think that we don't have a choice, or I don't have a choice anyway, to face an obstacle and to be so overwhelmed by it that I just stop or I don't even try. I think we all make choices, and I think that's one of the things that we can do to make our lives better. When we are faced with an obstacle, we try our best either to crawl over it, to hop over it, to push it over, to lift it up and crawl under it, to go around it, or to find another route, so to speak. And so I think that's the way that I've always lived my life. It's not always easy. I'm not always super positive. Sometimes I'm very negative, actually. But I try to be optimistic and know that, you know, things are going to be hard and difficult, but I've got to at least try.
And I believe much of your journey in this ultra running started back in 2012, 2011, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. And 2013, I did my first ultra.
Okay. And you started very simplistically with a blog, A Fat Girl Running, and it's almost as if you just fully faced on those obstacles of those perceptions of people around you.
Well, you know, again, I had to. I am a fat girl who runs. And there were, you know, I didn't see myself represented in really anything. I saw other fat people running, but we were never, you know, shown in the media or as people who could actually do things. And so my goal with the blog was to share my own story of the races that I did, the things that people said to me, both positive and negative, and just the experiences I was having just utilizing my body to traverse long distances. And, you know, it kind of caught on. People, you know, it wasn't a weight loss blog. I wasn't really interested in that because there's tons of that, and there was tons of it, and there still is tons of it. But I was more interested in the story of an athlete.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, our guest is Myrna Valerio. She is a blogger, an author, a mom, an opera singer. She is just an amazing woman. And Myrna, I have so many questions for you. I really almost don't know where to start, but I want to start with, how about this, so that people really understand the breadth of your race, you know, your race season every year. Talk mm-hmm. about what you are doing and what is the race that where you've run the farthest, the longest, the most hours.
Sure. Okay. Well, there are a couple of races. Okay. So, I mean, I just started out doing what most people who are runners start out doing. I started out doing 5Ks actually back in 1999. And that grew over time, you know, through a health scare where I thought I was having a heart attack when I had to like re-enter the world of running, but started with 5Ks again, 10Ks, half marathons, marathons. And then, you know, and then I was really, really intrigued by the ultra marathon distance. And that typically starts at 50K or 31 miles. And so I tried my first ultra marathon, and, you know, I was kind of pushed by a race director that I did a lot of volunteering for. And so I was like, well, if he thinks I can do it, then I'm going to do it. And I did my first 50K in 2013. And then it just grew. I was just really curious about what my body could do. And so in 2015, I did my first and only 100K, which took me just over a day to do that. It was at the Javelina 100K in Fountain Hills, Arizona. And but I loved it. I loved the way it made me feel. I mean, I was hungry for a month afterwards. and then in 2017, I did my first crack at the Trans Rockies 6-day stage race, which is a 120-mile, 6-day, 20,000 feet of gain of elevation gain race in the Rockies, and I didn't finish it. It was super, super difficult, super hard. And even though I had trained, I had done a lot of vert and stuff and a lot of distance, I had not prepared myself for the altitude. And so I went back in 2018 and finished with different training, with a coach. And so that's the longest sort of event in terms of time that I've done. And 100K is the longest distance that I've done, like, in a day, or like a day in a couple of minutes.
Oh, you are just so inspiring. I've actually done the Trans Rockies, but on my mountain bike when it was a mountain bike race. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done, the hardest 7 days I've ever done. I can't imagine doing it on foot. You did it. I want to go to this REI.com documentary on you. It's about 11 or 12 minutes long. It's called The Murnivator, as Pete said. And it starts off, it's so shocking what it starts off with. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. REI reached out and wanted to do a video about me. You know, as a Black woman who is in the outdoors, who is a trail runner, who is a hiker, because, you know, it's still a story. It's, you know, you still don't see a lot of diversity out on the trails, even though it's changing now, it's changing very slowly. So, you know, I'm doing the filmmakers there. Her name is Sarah Menzies. She's fantastic. She's waiting for me at the end of a 50K race that I was doing. And about 3 miles or 2.5 miles from the finish, my friends were doing the last loop with me. And I took out my phone to take a selfie of all of us to commemorate the occasion, right? I was almost finished. It was my first 50K of the year. And then I noticed that there was an email notification. And, you know, stupid me, I opened up this email.
Because as we do.
Running, right, you know, on the trail. And it was my work email at that, too.
That's horrible.
Right. The first line of the email was, "You are a fraud." And then it went on to say, and using a lot of expletives, about how I was a fake runner. I was too fat to run. I was too slow. I was trying to kill people by this idea of fat acceptance. Lots of other things, and a lot of F-bombs. And, you know, to read that in the middle of the trail, doing the thing that this guy said that I was pretending to do, and it was very traumatic and very hurtful and harmful. But my friends, being the awesome people they are, read the email and said, "You know what? Put your phone away. You got to finish this thing because you're doing exactly what he says you're not doing. Put your phone away." And I was like, "Not before I put this on Instagram." So I screenshot it, put it on Instagram, and the filmmaker who was waiting at the end, she saw it. And was shocked herself, like, you know, I finished, and, you know, she hugged me and congratulated me, and said, "Hey, you know, if you want to talk about this in our interviews, let's talk about it." And so that was that. This film that was supposed to be about something completely different ended up being about this email and this trolling, this pretty epic trolling that I had gotten right when I was doing this awesome thing. But really what it ended up being was about the exact thing they were trying to tell a story about. You know, here are the things that I faced as a Black woman, as a fat woman, as a slow runner out on the trail. You know, here I was, I guess, quote unquote, defying expectations about, you know, somebody in my body could do, or about what somebody in my body could do. And that, yeah, it went viral. It, we had no idea that it would reach the number of people that it did, and that it would resonate with so many different types of people every single day. That was in 2017. Every single day, up until the day, I get a message about this film. Thank you. I like, you know, people still think it's new. They're like, you know, screw the haters. you know, you do you. You're doing an awesome thing. You got, you know, I got your back. And it's so awesome to see a whole community of people that I don't know just kind of rallying for me. And I wish that's the way the world was, right? So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, you certainly have a lot of supporters, and I've always been one for many years, and we've known each other for quite a while. And
yeah,
it's been fun, but, you know, there have been these really negative people, and there's been situations, and you really are defying expectations. And more importantly, you're bringing humanity to when people are making quick judgments and challenging perspectives. And, you know, you say it in your documentary, but you also live it in your life. There's more to you than just being an ultra runner. There's more to you than your work. It's you're a mom, you're a teacher, you're an advocate, you're an opera singer. So, in fact, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen or heard was listening to you sing one time. And so talk a little bit about, you know, this depth and having people see beyond just their visual.
Yeah, you know, man, people are so complex. You know, that's the reason I wrote my book, in fact, was because I wanted people to know me, not just to see me, but to know me as a human being that has all of these aspects to her, and to, you know, not only to see it in me, but to see it in other people and to see it in themselves. You know, the reason I get to do what I do now is because I had this incredible educational experience, because I, you know, I speak professionally, because, you know, I am a performing artist. So I love being on stage. And you know, the reason I run is because I played sports in high school and I wanted to get better at those sports, field hockey and lacrosse. And so I started running because there was so much running, you know, and, you know, and people think that they are very quick to think that the reason I run is because I want to lose weight. But they don't know my history. And so, like, you know, I think we have to realize that everyone has a story. Everyone has so much more beneath them, than what you see on the outside, you know. You see me, I know, like, we're human. We categorize people. That's what we do. That's how we navigate our world socially. That's how we kind of keep ourselves protected, right? Because we do have to make quick judgments. But the other part of that is that we have this intellectual capability to go beyond that, right? To actually have a conversation with somebody, to see what they're really about, to engage them in something that we love together, to be in a community with each other. Like, we have these incredible opportunities to do that. And so, I mean, I think that's why I exist. I want people not to just see what you see, but to dig a little deeper and love on those various things about people that make them different from us, from other people. Like, I love that. That's why I do anti-racism and social justice education, you know, like, because we are much more than those identities that we see on top.
Yeah. And you are living your vision, your calling. And so as we are speaking to a mountain town right now, and we have so much work to do on social equity in our community, what is your advice? Like, I mean, one, I want you to come back and visit us again. And you know, you always have a place to stay at my home. But when you do come here next summer or winter, whenever you do want to come, what do you want to happen in these mountain communities and in ultra races and these outdoor environments? How do you want people to think and react?
Yeah, you know what? I live in a mountain community. I'm in Montpelier, Vermont, and I moved here because of the mountains.
We can get into an argument over that if you want. Just kidding.
You know, you guys got your Rockies over there. We have our oldest mountains in the world over here. So, you know, we got the wisdom.
The wisdom. Wisdom mountains.
and granite and technical running. Anyway, so I mean, I can go if you want to fight about it. I can go on.
All right, you win, Myrna. You win.
The only thing I win because I don't win races. Anyway, so you know what? I think it's really important to be invitational to people. You know, like if you look at the outdoor industry now, the trail industry, you know, it seems to be for one type of person. And I know it's not, you know, I wouldn't be a part of the trail running community if it were only for one kind of person. But I think people have this perception. So we have to knock down these like perceived barriers to entry. And, you know, whether it's just in marketing, you know, show different people out doing different things. It doesn't have to be a race-based thing, but show, you know, show all of the genders, show all of the everything, people in wheelchairs. You know, it's high time we like make sure that we're inclusive of everyone. You know, one of the things that I love about Grand Canyon is that there's this trail around the rims that people can access, you know, if they have mobility issues. Like thinking about things like that to make sure that our trails, our mountains are accessible to a variety of people, no matter who they are and what color they are, what age they are. I think, you know, a lot can be achieved by that, you know. Smiling at people when you're on the trail, you know, greeting them, acknowledging them. Many times when I'm on the trail, you know, people will look at me like as if I don't belong. Mm-hmm. And that you know, that creates a sense of you know, what, did I do something wrong? did I walk too close to them? You know, like that sort of thing goes a long way. So I think a simple smile, a nod of acknowledgement that you are human too, is really important. It's the little things. I you know, when I do my education, my social justice education, I talk about changing our behaviors and maybe like thinking, being metacognitive about our thoughts, you know, thinking about what we think and why we think those things, and where we learn those things from, and trying to undo all of the sort of negative, harmful attitudes that we might have about other people, and really trying to see them as human beings. You know, they are just human beings out on the trail. They are human beings out on the slopes. Maybe they're out there for the first time. Let me be invitational. Let me be warm. Let me be generous. Those are the things I think that can you know, affect a lot of change.
We're speaking with Myrna Valerio. Her blog is called Fat Girl Running. You're a wonderful writer. And again, I'm stuck with so many questions and limited time, but I want to talk about the sort of the physiology of being heavier as a runner. Mm-hmm. I used to do some endurance events with a skinny friend of mine, Andrew, a very superior athlete. But if he didn't eat just perfectly, he would bonk and I would pass him. And I would always say, hey, brother, my body can feed off itself a little bit. And so and so we do have an advantage in that way to having a little more adipose tissue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as women, and also, you know, I don't know what it is, and I should probably do some more research into this. I feel like my body is built for endurance. I am very slow, and you know, and that's, you know, proven by all the times I've come in last place or near last place. But I can do the distance, and, you know, the next day I can get up and do it again. And so, I think that certain body types are built for certain things. There are people that are built for speed. There are people that think they're built for speed and like, will go out and bonk and not eat or whatever. I actually should probably eat more when I'm out on the trail because I forget, or I'm like, oh no, I have the body fat to take care of this, but you know, it's slow burning.
right.
So you know, I'm still, you know, even after what, 12 years out doing ultra running, or I don't even know, I can't count. 7 years doing ultra running, you know, I'm still learning how to fuel myself. But yeah, I think you know, there's this whole you know, crew of women that are rising to the top in ultra running. You know, because we're really good at endurance. And I think, I mean, I think we're just going to keep getting better and better. And, our fueling is going to get better. Our training is going to get better. And, we're going to be right up there with the guys.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Watch out.
And then, you know, another couple of questions have to do surrounding, like, how do your joints handle, you know, being heavy and working them as you do over so many miles? And then do you end up, I know you said your goal is not to lose weight, but how do you not lose weight when you're running 100K or 50K or whatever it is?
Good question. You know, it's funny because I, just 2 months ago, I had meniscus surgery. And it's funny because one of the comments I get the most is like, well, you're going to ruin your knees. And I think a lot of runners get that comment from people who don't run and people who don't actually do sports, right? And so, you know, I've been going pretty hard at it for a number of years. And I did. I actually did lose 70 pounds when I recommitted to running. And in 2008, over the next 3 years, I lost 70 pounds.
Wow.
And I'd been well over, not well over, but just, you know, slightly over actually 300 pounds. And, you know, and I lost that weight because I trained 5 hours a day. I ran, I swam, I played tennis, I did yoga, I did cardio kickboxing classes, you know, and that is what it took to, for that to happen. And that wasn't necessarily purposeful. I did actually, after going to the cardiologist, I did say, okay, well, you know, I do need to lose a few pounds and I will do that. And so, I mean, it happened over the course of 3 years, and it wasn't really my priority because, you know, I didn't have any blood pressure problems. I didn't have any blood sugar issues or anything like that. But, you know, so my body, it takes a lot for my body to drop those pounds like that. And I'm not willing to engage in diet culture and weight loss talk. I'm not, like, I don't do that. That's not what I do. You know, and as long as I can keep moving, I will keep moving. And then, you know, as far as the meniscus surgery is concerned, you know, I was worried a little about, you know, people saying, oh, well, this is, you know, we told you so. But then I think about and I look at all of the runners that I know, all the thinner runners that I know who have had similar injuries, who have had to have similar surgeries. And there's no the occurrence of these particular types of injuries isn't much more for larger people like myself than it is for people who do the same things that I do. So I'm not super worried. You know, their physics is a thing. And, you know, I've been carrying around weight like nearly my entire life and my body has adapted to that. So I think it's a very complicated issue. And I think, you know, I think we do have to look at what we think about when we think about health, when we think about what is fitness, what is health, what is fitness?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be fit? And, you know, what does that have to do with health? But we have to define those things and really get away from this idea of BMI because it's bull. And the guy that created it knew it was bull. So, but we still use it in medicine, right? And so to measure people and stuff, I think we could come out with better measurements. And, you know, I don't feel like my healthiest now. I haven't been running regularly because I'm still recovering from surgery. But I know that as soon as I get back out there, you know, I'll be back to my regular athletic self. I mean, still athletic, but just not in a running way right now. And I'll, you know, be able to do the mile.
But that's what's so amazing about you, Myrna, is and you use the word adaptable, but like you do adapt, you change. You're not static. And I've known that, you know, the years I've known you, right now you're on the bike a lot. You're welcoming these changes. Hey, it's kind of fun. You embrace the goofiness of learning a new sport. And so what is the next adventure? What is the next iteration of Myrna Vader?
Well, I am going back to Trans Rockies next year.
Okay, I'll meet you there.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's, you know, provided we can leave the country, I got an invite to UTMB. I won't be doing the big one. I'm not trying to do that because that's crazy. But I've chosen to do their fun run, which is a 40K with 7,500 feet of vert. And so I'll be out there. Yeah, I'll be out there like doing some social media and trying that race out. And so those are my big goals next year and kind of my only running goals. The other thing is that I do have a new cycling sponsorship, which is crazy to me because I only picked up the bike, after 10
ago?
Years of not riding a bike. No, not even a year ago. Not even a year ago. In June.
Oh, wow. And I loved it. You were so goofy about it. I loved it. You were hilarious. And so if people want to follow you, you know, they should definitely check out your Instagram and follow you on social media. It's been a journey, a blast, and I look forward to seeing you at Trans Rockies. And thank you for what you're doing for the world and the community and those all around us.
Thanks, Myrna.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, y'all.
We love you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.